Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is October 21, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments in fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about 01 Labs raises $10.9 million more for lightweight MENA protocol. Central Bank of Bahamas launches landmark sand dollar digital currency. Predictions platform Polymarket raises $4 million from Polychain, Naval Ravikant and more. USDC is coming to Solana blockchain in potential boost for non-Ethereum DeFi. Ethereum Classic's MES solution won't provide robust security against 51% attacks, report. New York lawyers propose toolkit for keeping decentralized blockchains honest. PayPal pledges to bring crypto to 26M merchants, confirming market entry. Tether still dominates stablecoins, but USDC and DAI are winning DeFi. First mover, PayPal rushes in and Bitcoin breaches $12,000, while USDC gains on Tether. Now let's get started. 01 Labs raises $10.9 million more for lightweight MENA protocol. 01 Labs lightweight blockchain project MENA, formerly known as CODA Protocol, has raised $10.9 million in a funding round co-led by Hong Kong-based Bixen Ventures and Singapore-based Three Arrows Capital. MENA was set for mainnet launch in Q4 but 01 Labs CEO Evan Shapiro told CoinDesk it has been delayed to early next year because launching a blockchain near the holiday season is never a good idea. MENA's lightweight design, it only takes 22 kilobits to store a copy of the CODA blockchain thanks to its reliance on ZK-SNARKs, is meant to foster widespread adoption. MENA addresses the failure of legacy blockchains like Bitcoin and Ethereum which, over time, pushes users out of participation, Shapiro said. Before launching on mainnet, MENA aims to finish its adversarial testnet with over 1,000 unique participants by the end of the year. 01 Labs previously raised a $3.5 million seed round in May 2018, followed by a $15 million Series A in April 2019 from leading investors including Polychain, Paradigm and Coinbase Ventures. MENA presents a lightweight layer 1 blockchain solution to the cryptographic trilemma of decentralization, scale and security, Three Arrows Capital co-founder Kyle Davis said in a statement. As daily blockchain users ourselves, we are particularly excited to support the MENA team and ecosystem. Central Bank of Bahamas launches landmark sand dollar digital currency. The Central Bank of the Bahamas has officially launched its national digital currency. The first of its kind in the world to have been fully deployed, the sand dollar is a digital version of the Bahamian dollar. Issued by the country's monetary authority as a central bank digital currency, CBDC, the announcement of the launch came via a tweet on Wednesday. The project is designed to bring more inclusive access to regulated payments and other financial services, per the central bank's FAQ. CBDCs have been a hot topic this year. China, for instance, appears to be close to launching its digital yuan, which in recent days has seen its biggest public trial. Others, like the US, Russia and the European Union are looking into their respective CBDC launches. As reported by CoinDesk, the first phase of the Bahamas rollout sees private sector players such as banks and credit unions readying compliance checks for personal and enterprise wallets to support the sand dollar. The digital wallets will be secured with multi-factor authentication security and will be mobile-based, servicing the 90% of the population with smartphones. Underserved communities of the Caribbean nation are the primary target of the initiative, which the bank said would reduce financial service delivery costs and boost transactional efficiency. The country is an archipelago with hundreds of islands, placing limits on traditional infrastructure. The sand dollar is backed 1-to-1 to the Bahamian dollar, BSD, which, in turn, is pegged to the US dollar. Predictions platform Polymarket raises $4 million from Polychain, Naval Ravikant and more. Polymarket, a decentralized information marketplace, has closed a $4 million funding round led by Polychain Capital. Announced on Monday, the round was joined by some of the industry's most well-known advocates and investors such as former AngelList CEO Naval Ravikant, former Coinbase CTO Balaji Srinivasan, CoinShares CSO Mel Temdemirers, among others. The startup said the investment will help it move to stage 2 of its beta release, which will remove technical complexities and make it easier for mainstream users to onboard and trade on the platform. Polymarket is designed to let users place cryptocurrency bets on hotly debated topics, ranging from politics and health through to business and science. The platform's trading activity is turned into actionable insights and can also help hold to account those pumping disinformation in the news cycle, according to the announcement. In essence, Polymarket allows those with an educated opinion to profit from correct statements and aggregates the data into what the company calls a collective knowledge. Platform users can cross-check market activity against current news to better determine the truth of a given subject or statement, Polymarket said. One of the biggest problems with social media and discourse on the internet today is the lack of accountability, Polymarket founder Shane Copland said. Everyone has an opinion and isn't afraid to share it. At the moment there's little downside to being wrong. This makes it really hard for regular people to discern what's fact and what's fiction, Copland added. 2020 has showcased just how bad the consequences of this can be. In the 3 months since its beta launch, Polymarket is said to have seen over $1 million in trading volume. USDC is coming to Solana blockchain in potential boost for non-Ethereum DeFi. The Coinbase and Circle-backed Center Consortium announced support for its USDC stablecoin on the Solana blockchain Wednesday, marking the dollar-backed asset's fourth blockchain integration, after Ethereum, Algorand and Stellar, announced barely a week ago. Compared to Ethereum's approximate rate of 15 transactions per second TPS, Solana offers over 50,000 TPS, which Circle CEO Jeremy Allaire told CoinDesk helps USDC function at scale and in a highly performant condition. USDC was launched with the goal to create technical and regulatory standards supervised by governments and regulators for a dollar-pegged money format and protocol, Allaire told CoinDesk. The stablecoin is just now moving into the growth phase, he added. USDC and Tether, the two largest stablecoins by market capitalization, have been rapidly expanding across new blockchains throughout 2020 as both stablecoins aggressively pursue cross-chain growth strategies. This year, five new protocols have announced support for one or both of the leading stablecoins. DeFi competitor? In early September, Tether also announced its planned integration with the ultra-high-speed Solana blockchain. Use cases for stablecoins now extend beyond simple trading and funds transfers, Allaire explained. Operating on multiple protocols is key for USDC to meet the needs of novel stablecoin use cases created by a burgeoning decentralized finance DeFi ecosystem, he explained. Concurrent with its support on Solana, USDC announced a partnership with FTX, Serum, the exchange's decentralized trading platform built on Solana, and Alameda Research, the exchange's sister company. As to whether USDC will continue to expand to other blockchains, Allaire told CoinDesk absolutely, noting that there are many credible blockchains that could be considered in the future for USDC support. Ethereum Classic's MES solution won't provide robust security against 51% attacks, report. A solution being implemented to safeguard against so-called 51% attacks on the Ethereum Classic, etc. network may not be as secure as other alternatives, according to a new analysis. This summer, the etc. blockchain suffered three such attacks in a month. Soon after, etc. Labs leading organization supporting the network announced it would roll out the modified exponential subjective scoring (MES) solution as an innovative and low-risk means to mitigate the risk of future 51% attacks. But, according to a report from the etc. cooperative and Cardano developer IOHK on Tuesday, an analysis concluded that the MES solution will not provide robust security and there's no guarantee that further attacks will not succeed. Further, MES doesn't provide high confidence for stakeholders to reduce confirmation times to desirable levels, the report reads. A 51% attack occurs when a nefarious actor gains the majority of a network's computing power, allowing them to carry out a reorganization reorg of blocks on the chain and potentially double spend transactions. MES is designed to make large block reorgs up to 31 times more costly, in theory negating any profit motive behind 51% attacks. The firms looked at various solutions proposed by developer teams from across the etc. community for the analysis, and said checkpointing and timestamping solutions would provide superior security. The alternatives, according to the report, timestamping enables etc. to base its security off another secure blockchain such as Bitcoin. Meanwhile, checkpointing occurs when a trusted authority chooses a block to become the canonical chain all participants must follow, and cannot be later dropped or reverted. Etc. Co-op Executive Director Bob Somerville said he hoped the report was the first step toward centralized decision-making among ETC's leadership, allowing technical and other ecosystem proposals to be essentially peer-reviewed, improving them, and ensuring they are sound. The report also suggested the implementation of a decentralized treasury, providing an ongoing source of funding for the future development of the etc. platform. A democratic and transparent funding mechanism will also allow the etc. community to determine its future direction by allowing it to choose which innovations are incorporated into the etc. product offering, it reads. This, the report claimed, would ultimately allow etc. to keep pace with and exceed the capabilities of other platforms. New York lawyers propose toolkit for keeping decentralized blockchains honest. A New York law firm is trying to test blockchain projects' decentralization claims against their perhaps not quite so distributed realities. Called the Quetzal Open Standards Rubric, the toolkit, developed by the Quetzal law firm and revealed exclusively to CoinDesk, proposes using hard, measurable data points to either bolster or burst a blockchain's decentralized credentials. It's the latest contribution to a long-raging debate in crypto: when, and how, is something truly decentralized? Finding that key, said toolkit co-creator and Quetzal partner Josh Garcia, can help investors, security researchers and even securities regulators root out blockchain projects' sometimes bogus claims. It's a tool to push along an informed discussion on what you're talking about when you're saying, "My network is decentralized." Now you can push back with evidence the assertion is demonstrably false, he said. Garcia and co-author Jenny Leung's Open Standards is hardly the first decentralization measurement toolkit, but a review by CoinDesk shows it to be one of the most robust. 33 data points probe the hard facts behind blockchain decentralization. Many are obvious. For example, the Focus Networks node count a decentralized network should have plenty and its underlying code's licensure status open source or bust are clear benchmarks. But others appear to be more novel. Quetzal's framework proposes weighing the network's GitHub statistics, measuring inter-node communication times, determining how large a stake of the cryptocurrency rests in wallets, and with the big investing whales, and even the theoretical cost of mounting a 51% attack, among others. Compiling these statistics can help researchers better understand a blockchain's in-the-moment distribution even if reaching an up-down verdict on its decentralization is impossible, said Garcia. It's not an answer to the question, what is decentralization, but it's a way to find that answer, he said. If people can decide whether or not some of these metrics are valid, they can use their chosen set to test for the type of decentralization they're looking at. Providing a broad selection of diverse metrics is critical, he said, because of the political, computational and economic analysts searching for a decentralization particular to them. A securities regulator concerned with the Howey test would likely choose different data points than a security researcher probing the network for holes. But different analysts also might hone in on similar points. For one, mining power concentration, or the concentration of miners whose computational efforts cryptographically secure proof-of-work blockchains, is a critical benchmark for any decentralization hawk. If all the key miners are geographically concentrated or grouped into a single pool, a blockchain may face mounting centralization and security risks, according to Quetzal. Just four pools mined 58% of Bitcoin blocks in the past year, the rubric shows. Garcia said his team spent months compiling all the relevant data points from the world's best-known blockchain network. Bitcoin's resilience as well as the consensus agreement that it is decentralized make it an ideal case study, and Garcia said it's the obvious benchmark to hold other projects against. If you do the same exact chart for another blockchain network, and you compare it side by side to Bitcoin, you know how far off you are from decentralization, he said. PayPal pledges to bring crypto to 26M merchants, confirming market entry. CoinDesk first reported PayPal was planning a move into crypto in June, citing anonymous sources. A month later, CoinDesk reported the Paxos exchange had been selected to support PayPal in its crypto endeavors. In a blog post Wednesday, PayPal said the COVID-19 pandemic had driven the need for digital payments of all sorts, although the move had been in planning since at least late last year, and following PayPal's short-lived dalliance with the Facebook-spawned Libra project. Beginning in early 2021, PayPal customers will be able to instantly convert their selected cryptocurrency balance to fiat currency, with certainty of value and no incremental fees, PayPal said. Its merchants will have no additional integrations or fees, as all transactions will be settled with fiat currency at their current PayPal rates. In effect, cryptocurrency simply becomes another funding source inside the PayPal digital wallet, adding enhanced utility to cryptocurrency holders, while addressing previous concerns surrounding volatility, cost and speed of cryptocurrency-based transactions, PayPal said. Not your keys. As bullish for the Bitcoin market as this announcement has proven to be, an initial review of PayPal's crypto services terms underscores that a go-it-slow mindset still pervades. Critical caps limit who buyers are, how much they can buy and what they can actually do with their PayPal-sourced crypto. For starters, PayPal is refusing to hand over customers' keys. You own the cryptocurrency you buy on PayPal but will not be provided with a private key, PayPal wrote in a help post. PayPal casts the restriction as a loss prevention tactic. A customer losing their private keys makes his or her underlying crypto pretty much gone for good, the post points out. While users will not be liable for unauthorized crypto transactions on their account, think, hacks, PayPal appears to have no interest in mitigating sloppy private key management. But keeping keys away from customers ensures that PayPal can maintain a tighter grip on how customers wield BTC, BCH, LTC and ETH. Crucially, users will not be allowed to send their crypto around. You can only hold the cryptocurrency that you buy on PayPal in your account. Additionally, the cryptocurrency in your account cannot be transferred to other accounts on or off PayPal, the help page says. The service rollout also faces a series of real-world restrictions. Only 49 out of 50 U.S. states have coverage at launch, with Hawaii, a notoriously tricky state for crypto companies, excluded from the list. We plan to expand this service to select global markets in the first half of 2021, PayPal said. There's also a $10,000 weekly buying cap and a $50,000 limit per 12-month period. All trades must be executed in U.S. dollars, PayPal said. PayPal gets BitLicense. As part of Wednesday's formalities, the New York State Department of Financial Services, DFS, said it had granted the first conditional BIT license to PayPal for a partnership with Paxos Trust Company, enabling customers to buy and sell cryptocurrencies. DFS said it was making good on a promise last year from Superintendent of Financial Services Linda A. Lacewell to take a fresh look at its regulatory framework for virtual currencies, with a view to fostering innovation in New York State. DFS's approval today follows our June 2020 announcement for a new framework for a conditional BIT license to encourage, promote and assist interested institutions to have a well-regulated way to access the New York virtual currency marketplace in a way that is both timely and protective of New York consumers, through partnerships with New York authorized virtual currency firms, said Lacewell in a statement. DFS will continue to encourage and support financial service providers to operate, grow, remain and expand in New York and work with innovators to enable them to germinate and test their ideas, for a dynamic and forward-looking financial services sector, especially as we work to build New York back better in the midst of this pandemic, she said. Now, with the DFS's approval, New York State chartered Paxos will be able to provide trading and custodial services to PayPal to allow the fintech giant's 346 million customers to buy, sell and hold cryptocurrency. Four DFS-approved digital assets will be initially available: Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ether and Litecoin, according to the DFS statement. Since 2015, DFS has approved 26 entities to engage in virtual currency business in New York State, including PayPal. Tether still dominates stablecoins, but USDC and DAI are winning DeFi. While Tether USDT, with a market cap surpassing $16 billion, continues to hold the lion's share of stablecoins in circulation, two smaller rivals are trouncing it in crypto's hottest market this year, decentralized finance DeFi. Measured by the total value locked in six of the most popular DeFi protocols Compound, Maker, Uniswap, Curve, Aave and Balancer USD Coin, USDC, is in the lead among stablecoins followed by DAI, the native stablecoin to Maker DAO. That's according to data compiled by Flipside Crypto as of October 19. USDC and DAI have market caps of $2.74 billion and $608 million, respectively. Yet, unlike on centralized exchanges, where Tether is the go-to stablecoin in dollar-based crypto trades, USDC and DAI seem to have found their niche as the preferred stablecoins in decentralized trades. In an interview with CoinDesk, Jeremy Allaire, peer-to-peer payments company Circle's co-founder, attributed USDC's success in DeFi to his company's early efforts in building relationships with the DeFi communities. The fact the two companies that co-founded USDC's governing center consortium, Circle and crypto exchange Coinbase, are both registered financial entities in the United States may also have something to do with USDC's recent upturn. According to Allaire, USDC is preferred by institutional investors for being safe, trusted and regulated. Authorities around the globe are giving more direction on how cryptocurrencies should be used and regulated. In late September, for instance, the U.S. Office of the Comptroller of the Currency (OCC) published its first regulatory guidance for stablecoins, clarifying that national banks can provide services to stablecoin issuers in the U.S. Having guidelines creates more certainty, which makes mainstream market participants ready and willing to engage in it, Allaire told CoinDesk. In contrast to USDC, DAI is a decentralized stablecoin that in theory does not have a centralized issuer and is censorship-resistant. Nicholas Kunkel, the head of backend services at Maker DAO, told CoinDesk DAI's decentralization core has made it more popular than most of its competitors. He sees its decentralization as a good thing for regulators. One advantage you have from a decentralized stablecoin is that everything is completely transparent, Kunkel told CoinDesk in an interview. So from a regulatory point of view, this is almost like their dream scenario, right? Because they can see exactly how many DAI are in existence and in circulation and they can see in real time. DAI is not the antithesis to regulation and regulator, he added. If anything, it's the opposite. For stablecoin king Tether, more than a few market participants question whether it is as transparent as the company claims. Tether, the company, has been battling multiple lawsuits accusing it of not properly backing its currency with collateralized reserves. Tether has declined to answer CoinDesk's questions on the lawsuits. However, in an email, Chief Technology Officer Paolo Arduino called Tether the most stable and liquid stablecoin. That assertion is challenged by at least some of its competitors. Tether is not fully backed with dollars and there is very little transparency into their reserves, the head of strategy at Paxos, Walter Hessert, wrote in an email response to CoinDesk. That's okay for some crypto traders because there are very liquid markets today. However, mainstream investors and institutions prefer stablecoins they can trust. According to Tether's website, its USDT stablecoin is backed by cash and equivalents and, from time to time, may include other assets and receivables from loans made by Tether to third parties, which may include affiliated entities. Paxos stable of stablecoins, including Paxos standard token PAX, Binance USD, BUSD, and Huobi HUSD, are all approved by regulators and are fully backed on a one-to-one basis with US dollars, according to Hessert. Tether's first mover advantage may have been the leading reason for its overall dominance, but even in Asia, which has historically driven demand in USDT, traders are beginning to turn to other stablecoins for liquidity. We have seen a lot of guys in Asia are starting to trade more BUSD and USDC instead of Tether, Darius Sit, co-founder of Singapore-based crypto trading firm QCP Capital, told CoinDesk in an interview. USDC is more fungible, meaning that it can be exchanged one-to-one anytime. The spread is tighter. The total stablecoin supply in the third quarter nearly doubled from the second quarter, and the total market capitalization of stablecoins has also breached $20 billion at press time, according to data from CoinGecko. That's still relatively smaller than what's found in traditional finance, a fact giving optimism to many in the stablecoin business hoping to overtake Tether. When you think about the size of dollar money markets, it's like $4 trillion, Allaire said. So clearly, tokenized dollars that are used in a really wide variety of applications should be eventually worth hundreds of billions or even trillions of dollars. First mover, PayPal rushes in and Bitcoin breaches $12,000, while USDC gains on Tether. Bitcoin blew past $12,000 to its highest price in 2 months, bringing into view the prospect of a fresh 2020 high. The largest cryptocurrency was changing hands Wednesday around $12,200, within striking distance of the year's high around $12,500, and that was even before the news emerged that electronic consumer payments giant PayPal had been granted a conditional New York State license for a partnership to buy and sell cryptocurrencies. Coupled with a seemingly constant flow of reports of traditional funds and companies investing or allocating some of their balance sheet to Bitcoin, we were due for a move up, Matt Blum, head of sales and trading for the publicly traded digital asset firm Diginex, told subscribers in his daily newsletter. In traditional markets, European equity indexes were lower, U.S. stock futures fluctuated and 10-year Treasury yields rose on renewed speculation that lawmakers in Washington might still be moving toward a stimulus package. Gold rose 0.6% to $1,919 an ounce. Market moves. While Tether USDT, with a market cap surpassing $16 billion, continues to hold the lion's share of stablecoins in circulation, two smaller rivals are trouncing it in crypto's hottest market this year, decentralized finance DeFi. Measured by the total value locked in six of the most popular DeFi protocols Compound, Maker, Uniswap, Curve, Aave and Balancer USD Coin, USDC, is in the lead among stablecoins followed by DAI, the native stablecoin to Maker DAO. That's according to data compiled by Flipside Crypto as of October 19. USDC and DAI have market caps of $2.74 billion and $608 million, respectively. Yet, unlike on centralized exchanges, where Tether is the go-to stablecoin in dollar-based crypto trades, USDC and DAI seem to have found their niche as the preferred stablecoins in decentralized trades. In an interview with CoinDesk, Jeremy Allaire, peer-to-peer payments company Circle's co-founder, attributed USDC's success in DeFi to his company's early efforts in building relationships with the DeFi communities. The fact the two companies that co-founded USDC's governing center consortium, Circle and crypto exchange Coinbase, are both registered financial entities in the United States may also have something to do with USDC's recent upturn. According to Allaire, USDC is preferred by institutional investors for being safe, trusted, and regulated. Authorities around the globe are giving more direction on how cryptocurrencies should be used and regulated. In late September, for instance, the U.S. Office of the Comptroller of the Currency (OCC) published its first regulatory guidance for stablecoins, clarifying that national banks can provide services to stablecoin issuers in the U.S. Having guidelines creates more certainty, which makes mainstream market participants ready and willing to engage in it, Allaire told CoinDesk. Bitcoin's price has jumped to two-month highs, and data from the options market shows traders are positioning for a continued rally. The top cryptocurrency by market value rose to $12,303 early today, the highest level since August 18, and was last seen trading near $12,250, representing a 2% gain on the day. The market sentiment has turned quite bullish, with firms like Square, MicroStrategy and Stone Ridge disclosing their Bitcoin holdings and bolstering the digital asset's popularity as a store of value. The momentum is certainly picking up with support from large corporations buying into the market, Wayne Chen, CEO and director of Interlapse Technologies, told CoinDesk in a LinkedIn chat. The move above $12,000 has exposed the August high of $12,476, above which significant resistance is seen directly at $13,880 June 2019 high. Options market data shows investors are expecting a continued price rally. Bitcoin is breaking out, and the options market is preparing for a bigger rally, SKU CEO Emmanuel Goh told CoinDesk in a Telegram chat. The bullish mood is evident from the negative 1, 3, and 6-month put call SKUs, which measure the cost of puts relative to calls. In other words, calls or bullish bets are drawing higher prices than puts or bearish bets, a sign of investors positioning for a price rally. What's hot? PayPal granted New York's first conditional BitLicense to offer crypto services. Bahamas officially launches Sand Dollar Central Bank digital currency, first of its kind in the world to have been fully deployed. BitMEX exchange accelerates mandatory ID verification after charges of lax anti-money laundering controls. Funding rates for Bitcoin perpetual futures have stayed flat or turned negative as spot prices shot past $12,000, suggesting futures traders aren't as bullish in latest rally. U.S. demurrage on digital dollar deprives officials of crucial ability to rapidly and precisely disseminate stimulus funds directly to citizens during a recurring pandemic or lingering depression, attorneys argue. Digital assets could become the next realm of shadow banking. In Q3, Binance's spot trading hit an all-time high, a sign retail traders are preferring the exchange to its competitors. MicroStrategy CEO Michael Saylor says Bitcoin market's data are garbage and that liquidity is far more limited than reported. Based on his own experience, he says it's tough to buy more than $35 million of Bitcoin without people knowing. Mode Global, a London stock exchange-listed fintech company, plans to convert 10% of cash reserves into Bitcoin to protect investors' assets from currency debasement. Crypto-friendly Signature Bank raked in $4 billion in deposits in Q3 2020. Peer-to-peer Bitcoin trading in North America now exceeds volumes during bull run of 2017. Analogs. The latest on the economy and traditional finance. As European Central Bank floods zone with stimulus, yields on 10-year government bonds from Greece, Italy are now under 1%, just like Germany's. Commodities traders increasing bets that US dollar will weaken versus euro. China initial stock offerings booming as economy recovers, markets surge. Global trade recovered somewhat in third quarter but remains about 4.5% lower than a year earlier, United Nations report shows. Japanese equities rise on U.S. stimulus deal being reached before presidential elections. U.S. economy has lost 3.9 million jobs since President Donald Trump took office. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.